Right now, I want to welcome to the program President of the Crime Prevention Research Center, Dr. John Lott is with us. Dr. Lott, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again.
It's good talking with you as well. You've got a piece at Fox News now on Representative DeLauro's tax credit, $2,000 tax credit if you turn in your semi-automatic rifle. This isn't quite it's not a confiscation program, but I got to say, this idea is not exactly exciting gun owners or a lot of gun control advocates, as far as I can tell.
Well, I mean, personally, I think gun owners ought to be happy with it in the sense that it's probably a better name for the bill would be the Full Employment for Gun Makers Act. I mean, you can go and buy an AR-15 for $600-$700, maybe $800, and then you could turn around and resell it for $2,000. And then you can buy another gun to replace it and, you know, and have a nice profit to boot. So I'm not really sure if she's thought through the economics of this. It seems like, I mean, I'm not particularly surprised that she might not understand the implications it's going to have, but it's not going to reduce the number of guns out there. It's going to actually increase the production of AR-15s and other weapons that she's not very thrilled about.
Well,
and makes the gun owners wealthier at the same time.
You know, and you're right about that. This $2,000 tax credit, in many cases, you know, you could do something like that. And I don't think she has thought through the economics of this. Frankly, you know, you look at a lot of the gun control legislation that's introduced, and I'm not sure that there's a lot of thought that's put into any of this. But, you know, I think from Representative DeLauro's position, it's, well, I want to ban these guns, but I don't think we have the votes to ban the guns. So maybe I can find the votes for this, where people would pay people to turn their guns in. You know, at the end of the day, though, we're still going from that basic premise of guns are bad. We need to do what we can to get rid of guns. This is not a gun safety position. This is an anti-gun position.
Look, I agree with everything you just said. I think this is just her way of trying to get rid of guns without knowing that she doesn't have the votes to pass what she'd ideally like. But the point is, though, it's not going to reduce the number of guns. It's going to increase the number of guns that are there. And it's going to make it so that people who have owned guns are actually going to be making a nice profit off. And it's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. And it's going to increase the number of guns that are able to be produced in the United States. None of that bothers me particularly, but it just seems like a waste of taxpayers' dollars.
Yeah, and I got to say, like I said, I don't think this is really lighting up Congress right now. I haven't seen anybody sign on as co-sponsors to this bill. You know, I've got to ask you about this, though, Dr. Lott, because, you know, it seems that we've gotten to this point here where, you know, so we've got this, you know, catchy new bill. It's completely different than our other gun control bills. Now we're not just interested in banning. We're going to try to give you some money back. At some point, you know, are we going to get to the point where the gun control advocates will actually sit down and talk with gun owners, talk with people like yourself about these plans so that you can actually explain why you think this is a good idea for gun manufacturers but a bad idea if you're trying to reduce violent crime?
Look, I mean, I've tried over the years to talk to gun control advocates about different things. You take these background checks. I'm trying to tell them that I thought that they'd have a lot less opposition if they were to not impose kind of an unfunded mandate on people for having to go through these checks. You know, in D.C., in order to go through an FFL, you can cost you a couple $100s. In New York State, it's like over $80 to transfer a gun. In Washington State, with the new initiative that they have, it's like $65 to go and do that. That's a real tax on people being able to go and obtain a gun. And what I've said is, if you really believe that these laws will reduce crime, and I'm extremely skeptical. I don't think that they would. But if they really believe it, it's just not the gun owner that's supposedly going to get the benefit of lower crime. It's going to be everybody that's going to do that. And given that that's the case, it should be paid by everybody, not just the person who's going to be buying the gun. In fact, making the person who's buying the gun have to pay for it is very counterproductive, because you and I both know that the fact that some people own guns out there, and the criminal doesn't know who owns a gun before they try to break into somebody's house, makes it riskier for criminals to go and break into anybody's house or, you know, somebody's carrying a gun. And so they're the last people that you should want to go and put a tax on. But they won't do that. I mean, when I've tried to raise that possibility, you know, in green rooms and other things I've been in before debates on TV shows, they just go apoplectic. And to me, that indicates that the point of having these types of laws isn't what they claim. It isn't to go and reduce crime. It's to go and reduce gun ownership, to make it costly. Their backdoor way of trying to impose a tax on people owning guns. And I mean, you see that lots of ways. When Colorado in 2013 was trying to pass its controversial gun control initiatives, one of the amendments that were put up in the Colorado State House there by Republicans was to say that they would exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state fee for transferring guns. Well, and exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay that. You'd think Democrats would vote for that, and yet Democrats, with two exceptions, the Democrats voted unanimously against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay that tax. And that just indicates to me that, I mean, how many taxes would Democrats vote unanimously against, or virtually unanimously, against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay? It's pretty hard to think of any.
Absolutely.
It indicates to me that the point of the tax was really just to reduce gun ownership. And so, and the thing is, who does it stop? It particularly stops poor people from being able to buy guns, poor minorities in particular. And, you know, my research, if it convinces me of anything, is that those are the very people who benefit the most from having the option to be able to go and protect themselves. One of the ironies of this thing that's been happening in Baltimore or previously in Ferguson is that you have a lot of politicians who don't want the police out there protecting people. You know, we have statements from the mayor, you know, presumably the mayor ordered the police to stand down and not stop the rioting on Monday, and earlier statements from her about you know, giving them an opportunity to go and do damage in a safe space. But we're not letting the police do their job, but also these are the same people who want to make it difficult and do make it difficult for poor people who live in those communities to defend themselves. So we're not letting the police defend them, and we're making it so that the poor individuals in those areas aren't able to defend themselves either.
Absolutely. Dr. Lott, listen, unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend. I hope we can do this again soon.
Sure. People can find more information by going to our website at crimeresearch.org, and also they may find it interesting, some of the stuff with the Bloomberg group that I kind of was supposed to debate last week, but they refused to debate.
And yeah, we'll have to. I'd love to have you on more to talk about that. That's a very interesting story as well.